motion's carried.
It is 2:38 in the afternoon, August 10th, 2021. I'm calling the meeting to order, the Guam Regional Transit Authority Board of Directors meeting. Again, I'd like to welcome everyone to this board meeting. Ms. Hernandez, please conduct the roll call.
We have Chairman Alejo Sablon.
Present.
Vice Chairman David Arend.
Present.
Honorable Kevin Sisbeko.
Present.
And Honorable Anthony Fargal.
Present.
Okay, looks like we have a quorum has been established.
I move to approve the minutes from July 13, 2021.
Second motion.
Okay, it has been, there's a motion to approve the minutes by Director Sisbeko and seconded by Director Chalglev. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous, the minutes of the July 13, 2021 meeting has been approved. Next item in our agenda is public participation, 3 minutes per individual. Is there anyone that's
signed up? Miss Evelyn.
You have 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, Miss Evelyn, I kindly ask that if you need more time, please write it down. You can wait after the meeting. We'll, if you need to talk to anyone here, the executive manager or any of the directors, please feel free. Okay? You have the floor, Ms. Evelyn.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have concerns, and most of you in this room have mentioned, and it was announced very well over the radio, that we're not getting any better with this pandemic situation. I've noticed for the past few months, and I'm going to go back to the executive manager's interview with one of the public, the KOM or PNC, regarding the supplies in the vehicle for sanitizing and so forth. He said that the vehicles are all supplied with hand sanitizers, wipes, masks. For the past month, probably already almost 6 months, I have been on board the vehicle several times. Of course, two of us tend to forget things, right? And one of them will be the last. Luckily for me, as only one, there was once when I got on the vehicle and I had forgotten my mask. They just asked the driver whether he or she had an extra one, and they said no. And then on another note, I also asked for the hand sanitizer wipes, and they said than halfway off the ground. Maybe just 4 or 5 inches off the ground. The lifter started squeaking. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is not even... I felt as if though I was over 500 pounds, because the lift was barely... The lift could talk, probably at for mercy. Okay? So this is on the StarQuest Public Transit 121. And this was yesterday afternoon. So those are my concerns, and you know GRPA is working with their means. And that's a sentence every day, you know. But in order for the equipment to last pretty much, the 5-year lifespan is to really maintain, and the lifters really pull out a lot of hydraulic fluid and oil, depending on the usage. So, those was what I experienced yesterday. The mask and everything else was, like I said, a couple of months ago. So to get to get back, then it really needs to be reinforced again. And that'll be it. And I'll turn in the rest of the concerns to the office.
Thank you. Thank you then. And I know Mr. Babalta was taking notes on that, and we'll be able to handle that. I appreciate your concerns. And again, if you want to, you know, feel free to write it up. I mean, there's Mr. Molino right there that handles the other concerns and complaints. As a matter of fact, I noticed that you had a new format for your report.
Yes, as requested.
As requested by Vice Chair, right?
No.
Oh, I mean, I'm not, that was Director Chargla that did that. And, you notice that, Director? That's a little bit more specific, and that kind of helps. Now, you had something regarding a ticket number or, you know, an incident report number, right? It makes it easier once somebody makes a complaint. Write down the incident reports for people to follow up and see the status of the report.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Just continue to follow up.
And at the end there, you see the number of days that we've dealt with from the day that we received it to the day that it's been handled.
That helps. That really helps. Thank you very much. Under the management report, we already went through some of the reports there. We can go on to item 6 of their old business, the bus driver boot camp. Updates on that, Mr. Babalta?
Sir, before we go on that, can I, if you wish, I can go ahead and provide a quick report, or you can read the reference, you can read the report that I provided. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, let me know, and I'll be more than happy to address. But I provided a report for the GRTA facility and also the park and ride facility.
That is correct, yeah. So we got it through the email.
So let me know if you have any questions.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll go ahead and proceed with the bus driver boot camp. I've communicated with Guam Community College and the Department of Labor to discuss bus driver boot camp. And the objective of this camp is to address the needs of Guam Regional Transit Authority. We've begun discussing the curriculum framework. We've begun discussing the resources that are needed. We've begun addressing the process in which the boot camp applicants are to be admitted into the boot camp. And that essentially is that the Department of Labor will identify these individuals, and these individuals will come to GRTA be interviewed. Mm-hmm. And those that are cleared by GRTA will be allowed to participate in the boot camp. The boot camp is being paid for by the Department of Labor. And We requested for 20 participants. And because of the need for us with regards to the AIM grant and also our fixed paratransit driver requirements, all 20 will be coming to the Monterey General Transit Authority. And then also with this boot camp, we are going to include Department of Revenue and Tax to administer the testing, so that in the event the completers will be able to have at least a G license. But the ultimate goal is to get them all to achieve the D license. I have a meeting tomorrow with the GCC again to hopefully begin to finalize the boot camp requirements.
So after the completion of boot camp, you're saying that they will have a license to, I mean, valid, qualified to drive the buses that we have? Somebody had mentioned, I think it was Director Chalglev that maybe suggested that something in line with, you know, after that they have to work for DRTA for, you know, an amount of time, like, you know, like a scholarship, like teacher training scholarship, you're 4 years, you serve 4 years with the government. And so that might be a good good thing to have there if they could do that, because we don't want people, you know, going to boot camp, come in for 6 months or a year, and then they say, you know, I'm gonna go to greener pastures, you know. So if that could be done, that I think that would really be a good thing for GRTA.
We'll bring that up, sir. We'll bring that up.
I just have one on the park and ride facility.
Yes, sir.
On the park and ride facility, that particular piece of property, is that going to be transferred over to GRTA?
Yes, sir.
Or is it still going to remain under the municipality?
It's going to be transferred over to GRTA. FTA will allow us to either lease or convey completely over to us free and clear. And our goal with when it goes through the legislature, it's transferred over to us as owning the property. Yeah. Just like the RTA facilities. So as a matter of fact,
I was having a conversation with the mayor, that's why I wanted to just ensure that the property was going to be transferred over.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Myra is trying to set up a schedule between me and Director of Land Management, Bora, the mayor of Dededo, and the senators, the representatives, to begin to hopefully finalize the legislation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please keep us posted as soon as you have any updates on that one.
And you know, the amount of land that we are proposing to get, it's really very important that we have this, because, you know, when I visited Hawaii's electrification program with buses, you know, their charging stations and all of that, with the parking of the buses, with the charging stations, requires a lot of property. So this year will allow us to, you know, grow with the fleet, allow us to build the charging stations and so forth. So, but altogether, we're looking at about 17,000 square meters of property.
Yeah. That's adequate as compared with Hawaii, but you saw how Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
So,
yeah. And then, you know, hopefully, on our next work session, we can talk more about the electrification program. Okay. But just a quick update on that. You know, in meeting with the electrification team, and the Director Chargalev, and of course Director Sisriko and the board, they went out and visited the bus company. They went out and visited a couple of agencies to learn more about the buses, to learn more about, you know, the charging stations, how they operate electric vehicles and so forth. And based on their visits and based on their consultant in putting together their electrification plan, you know, they're more knowledgeable about what they need to have. So, so hopefully as the pandemic is more controlled, you know, our team will be able to go and visit some of these areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is, if you all see the slides that, you know, a few slides that they provided to me, it's a very challenging initiative. It took them from planning to procurement to training to building the charging stations for 3 years. But maybe for us, because we are on a smaller scale, it may take us a little less than that, or you know, about 3 years. So.
Wow, that's good.
But it's amazing how the difference in riding an electric vehicle with or electric bus with the fossil fuel bus. A lot quieter, a lot smoother, you know.
You get a chance to ride on the electric?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I did. Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir,
sounds good. Yeah. I'll take your word for it. That
yeah.
Look forward to riding on those electric buses.
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah.
It's coming. Any other questions, concerns from directors? If not, we can go into the new business, the round match. Payment system alternative recommendations. You got that, Mr. Pratt?
Oh, yes. So,
yeah.
At our last work session,
right.
We discussed about the recommendations that RouteNet had offered us, considering the facts that significant changes in the industries has made it possible for us to move forward with a more hands-less option. And they recommended the two options for us, or rather one option, which is found in the Guam Regional Authority recommendation, which we talked about. So we're moving towards that direction. And I believe the chief is also, in addition to Max's letter that they'll be submitting to us, are going that direction and getting the support from the board, of course, as to what we're doing. And so that process is now in a position where we're just waiting for the letters to come in from RouteNet. So that's where we're at.
Okay. So once we get the letter from RouteNet, then the board approves.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, we need approval on that one.
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay. So let us know as soon as you, maybe by the next meeting. I mean,
hopefully by. I'll follow up and see where they're at, because I know they have to go through the process of putting in the details. And that could be just making sure that things such as the cost effectiveness, we're very positive to save money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of the hardware that we don't have to install.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to. But they will take that and use it for the development process.
Mm-hmm.
So in developing the technology, there's a give and take, but they don't feel it's going to be any higher than what they allocated.
Yeah.
So we'll get more details about that.
Yeah. Director Srico, you had that, you got received that, I think it's Mr. Penfield's report, no? Online, I think sent it to all of us.
Oh, yes.
Right. Yeah, regarding that drop match payment system alternative recommendations. So, okay, we can go on to item B, the fiscal year 2021 title 6, program review and approval.
Jack, were you able to address title 6? Title 6, in addition to what Jackie mentioned, Mr. Chairman and Directors, Title 6 is a program that's mandated by the Federal Transit Administration. It's covered under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So it's imperative for GRTA to administer this or to have this program to ensure that our riders and our employees are treated equally with regards to, you know, race, color, and national origin. And again, this is a very, very important program for GRTA. Finalizing this this proposal, Mr. Chairman and Directors, Mr. Pilipina put together a survey that you know was passed out to our writers and even to our employees to gauge their sentiments with regards to language, communications between writers and GRTA, and also how people are being treated. And there's no derogatory information from any of our writers. That survey, plus other requirements that Raleigh did, were mandated by the State Management Review from the Federal Transit Administration. They reviewed what were submitted and they approved. And I'm not sure whether, on a side note, whether during the work session, you were briefed, Mr. Chairman and Directors, about the State Management Review. That the last time State Management Review was conducted with GRTA, there were like 16 deficiencies, 16 findings. This last time around, we only had two findings. And you know, a big factor behind that is the team. We had a good team working together. And with them working with the Federal Transit Administration, State Management Review Team, we were able to provide them with the information that they need and they want. And as a result of you know, our working with them, we reduced the number of findings to 2 instead of 16.
Well, those findings that they found, I mean, that was addressed, or was it?
We're working.
We're working on that.
Yeah. The two findings are with the drug and alcohol.
Okay.
And they reviewed our proposal, our drug and alcohol program proposal. They made some changes, or they suggested some changes. We updated our proposal based on the changes, and IFB or the RFP was forwarded over to GSA for advertisement. So once that's advertised and awarded, then we'll be able to have a drug and alcohol program available.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's, I see on this, this is a thick.
This is title six.
Report, title six. I mean, it's here duly and regularly adopted on this day of August 2021. Is there?
Yes, sir.
Do I hear a motion to adopt this Title VI program update? You need more time to read it?
Yeah.
You need to approve, or you need more time?
We need Well, we are reviewing that. I wanted to mention in terms of you know, the survey that you were mentioning,
yes,
regarding the language. I was looking at that, and it seems like some of them, some of the respondents were confused. I'm not sure if there was instructions on how to what it means, because maybe it's for various reasons that they lack the education, or you know, they don't understand what it was asking.
Okay.
And I did notice that there were a few, not a whole lot, but
on the ridership.
On the ridership.
Oh, okay.
Directors, I don't know if you saw that. It was part of the report that Myra had sent us. You know, like, they were asking a question and it seemed like they lost it. Some of them, it's right down NA all the way. Some of it was left blank.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if it was somebody, you know, one by one, it just gave it to them and say, you know, just fill it out the best way you can, or was it explained a little bit, you know, step by step to get a more accurate.
I can just a thought,
it's just my observation. Mm-hmm. It's it does provide some information, you know, and generally it was favorable. Mm-hmm. You know, the recommendations and the important thing there was, what do you think is there's a need? Why is it that they don't ride the buses, for example? You know, or what can be done to improve? Some of them, you know, they need more education. They need to hire somebody that can translate, especially if you notice that the ridership, there's a quite a high percentage of certain ethnic groups that have different languages. You know, if mm-hmm. whether it be Korean, Panapean, Chukis, whatever, mm-hmm. Filipino, you know, Korean, sure. All those. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's the essence of Title VI, really, is to make sure that people are being provided with information that they need to take advantage of the voucher program.
Yeah. So some of them
were
good.
We'll take a look at the surveys, and I went through that too myself, but apparently I missed some of what saw. Yeah.
Well, some of them were included, for example, you know, placing more information, pamphlets, mm-hmm. you know, information on the bus. In languages, and you know, in their languages, I'm
sure.
I'm not sure how feasible that would be. I mean, is it practical? Maybe just the main languages would figure out that there's a high incidence of certain ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, you provide that. If the majority were Japanese, then put Japanese signs. You know, it's, on the other hand, if there's a need for Micronesian languages. To hire more, you know, translators, somebody that you can tap to say, hey, can you communicate this?
Sure.
We're having a problem communicating mm-hmm. with this writer, and so mm-hmm. forth. So,
we are Chukis, we are Filipino, we have, I think, and I'm not sure what the point of paying on. I know one person in our office can speak two of the Micronesian language. So, but we'll take a look at the survey, we'll take a look at the concerns that were noted on the surveys.
Excuse me, some writers are not fully cognitive of reading and writing.
That's part of the other thing, the lack of the education they do. Mm-hmm. Something to take a look at. Anyway, I mean, back to the Title VI. Do I hear a motion to adopt the program?
I make a motion to approve fiscal year 2021 Title VI to renew program update.
It has been moved to approve the program by Director Chaglap. Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's seconded by Vice Chair Aran. Anyway, more discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The vote is unanimous. The Title VI program update has been approved. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. The next item on the agenda, drug and alcohol review and approval. I see that, Jackie, you're the FDA drug and alcohol testing program manager. Congratulations. And Charlene, is there Charlene? Charlene, Evangelista is the alternate drug and alcohol testing program manager. In a nutshell, Jackie, what do you think they want you to do as a manager for this program?
Our employees are aware with our policy we have that majority of the employees already received it, and we have had them acknowledge they received it.
Yeah.
To also include the drug-free workplace act also, and to ensure our safety-sensitive employees are aware of our zero tolerance.
I noticed that when I was taking a look at, I think the other packet that I received was a little bit thicker than this one, but it entails quite a lot of responsibilities, and it's really, thank God that at least the information has been disseminated to, you know, the staff so that they are clear, and they write it, they sign that they understand, read and understand, and there's no excuses for somebody to say, well, I didn't know. It's in black and white that they understood and signed, so that's... So eventually we'll be hearing about some staff getting tested, right?
Yes, as soon as we get the warrant
right.
From
the
owner.
Okay. It's right.
So let me see if there is space here for, again, approval. There's no need to, to approve.
It's only the Title VI that
requires. Oh, only? Okay. Okay.
Is this new, this drug?
No.
It was updated, sir, from the... We had a program proposal put together already, but then the state management review team wanted to review what we proposed. And in reviewing our proposal, they made some minor changes, you know, to make sure that we're fully compliant with the Federal Transit Administration. Yeah, yeah.
Have we ever done drug testing yet?
Have we ever done? Everybody who's hired into
yeah, only on part employment, but I'm saying is there any
not yet, sir, not yet. We are working with. I submitted a request to the Department of Administration for them to do a random. Testing for our people, and we're waiting for them to you know, get.
But is this something that's that we have to fund or?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, yes sir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what is the rule if they get into an accident? You know, because there's actually a some number. In other words, if the damage is over, for example, 3,000. I forget the number, but there is a number out there, and if the damage to the vehicle is under a certain number, then it's not required.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that number is, but is that something you guys are aware of?
Yeah.
What is that number?
It's I believe with the federal, it's, if there is a fatality, it's a mandatory drug and alcohol test.
But how about if you just...
If there is no fatality, if there are injuries, stuff like that, it would be at the risk, you know, based on what the...
Let's just say the driver's all by himself, but he damaged the truck. There's a value that you put before you was actually forced to take a drug test.
With the federal, it's only on the fatalities, but with the local, and with Mr. Rebouts' own, you would mandatory test.
Well, Jackie, this is the same drug and alcohol policy for other agencies that receive federal funds, right? I mean...
No.
No? Yeah. Is it different? Okay. Like, you know, I hear about other agencies having drug testing random. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if DPW yes. have their own. Okay, so eventually we're going to have to, I mean, and it's important that we do that because, you know, it's not like we're never going to see an incident where somebody might need to be, I mean,
is there any safe harbor clause in the drug-free workplace? Zero? No safe harbor?
It's conflicted, but on the local side, you have the safe harbor, even with the zero tolerance, but on the federal side, you don't.
Yeah. Director Chargler?
So, it's like the local law would supersede that. And again, it would be kind of like a management discretion to
I thought local government there was no more safe harbor.
I was reading up on that. It does say zero tolerance, but I believe if the person does is going to be protected by that safe harbor, everything would be at their own expense. So it's no longer the government, like the mayor's office, you have to pay for it. It'll be out of your expense to pay for it.
But at least you keep your job. At least you keep your job.
Yeah, so you bring back your certificate of completion, and then within that year span, you get kind of like 5 tests, random testing. So you're kind of watched when you get back. But that would be at your expense.
Well, Jackie, there's no conflict in, you know, like, from what I understand, it's legal to use marijuana on the island, right?
Marijuana is not at all, sir.
Say that again?
Not allowed at all, especially for safety-sensitive employees.
The other thing behind that is the fact that the federal government doesn't allow for marijuana. As a matter of fact, it's one of the prohibited drugs within the federal government. And as a result of that, with us receiving federal funds, marijuana is not allowed. But going back to drug testing, Director Chargalev, if you take a look at page 11, it has information about testing, sir. So for fatal testing, certainly when one or more vehicles receives disabling damages resulting in a fatality, as soon as practicable following an accident involving the loss of human life, GRTA shall conduct drug and alcohol tests on each surviving covered employee. For non-fatal, when one or more vehicle receives disabling damage or an individual receives medical treatment away from the scene, as soon as practicable following an accident not involving the loss of human life, which a public transportation vehicle is involved, GRTA shall drug and alcohol test the covered employee operating the public transportation vehicle at the time of the accident, unless GRTA determines, using the best information available at the time of the decision, that the covered employee's performance can be completely discontinued as a contributing factor to the accident.
Now, when it says there that that's determined by GRTA, would that be you, Jackie, to determine that, right? All right.
I think it has to come up to my level, sir.
On the level, right? Yeah. Okay.
Of course, you know, we work to arrive at that decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would be you guys' means of initiating a alcohol test?
That is going to be identified in the dispatch
that went down. Right? No, he was like, that's probably an opportunity. You could just even engage the police department, right, to have them use their breathalyzer or whatever means they do to test alcohol level within the person, you know?
Actually, sir, at any time that we see that a safety-sensitive employee looks like out of the ordinary, we will put that person to the side and try to just, based on our visual and verbal interaction.
Suspicious.
Here it is. Then we can require this person to go through drug and alcohol testing. Based on this program. This program is very, very sensitive with regards to GRTA, so we need to follow the parameters of the program. Yeah, it's...
Mr. B, you know, I've been hearing that the U.S. Congress is trying to decriminalize marijuana. I mean, it's not yet passed, sir, or something, but there's a movement because it's costing a lot of money for the U.S. to go after people that are just, you know, using medical marijuana, or in some of the states that do not allow it. So that would impact, I guess, if it's proved, and that would mean that they'll change the...
I know, with this medicine on marijuana, sir, any federal funds received, it is a zero tolerance. And I'm pretty sure maybe somewhere down the line in the EA field, sir, that they will change that, but with the, even if
somebody who does take like control medication, they would have to report it to, if one of our drivers take it for whatever the reason, we have to have a record of those control medications.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a good idea, I guess, to stress to the dose that applies, you know, there's zero tolerance, including marijuana, because, see, if the island is allowing, I mean, well, you know, it's legal for the rest, it's very tempting for...
But even as the Guam as a whole, sir, even with the marijuana being passed to a certain degree, mm-hmm. if the government of Guam employee shall test positive for marijuana, it is a zero tolerance as well. Government-wide.
For the government of Guam?
Yes, government-wide.
This has been enough.
Because it's still not, even though you get a prescription that you can take it, it's still not allowed with the government of Guam.
Okay, we'll just, I guess, wait and see,
because
there's a lot, I mean, you know, it's creating a conflict, you know, in some states,
states
allow it, and, but it's a federal, only the state, but not federal, and, well, hope for the best, whatever decision they'll make. Anyway, any other comments? We're coming on to the next item here would be, of course, our executive session. And so at this time, I'm going to go ahead and call for a recess, and we'll come back to adjourn the meeting after the executive session. Well, thank you for Mr. Borja, Eming, and Tom, Higa. Thank you for your presence here. Ms. Evelyn, thank you for attending. Staff would be dismissed unless somebody has any questions. Take a quick several minutes break. Do we need to stop?